You got your Bibles tonight. I'm reading Philippians chapter number 2. I'm going to talk about something. just something's been on my heart, and I guess you'll understand why in a minute. But I want to talk about considering others. And I want to read this scripture, and you'll see where the thought comes from. It's in Philippians chapter 2, and verse number 1. Down to verse number 8. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I may have told you this story before, or at least part of it, but I want to share it with you, and I'll give you a new story. But when I was a teenager, it's been obviously quite a few years ago, I was down on Fulton Industrial when it was just a two-lane, way down, you know, back before cell phones. And I was in my truck. I lived in Ellijay, but I was down on Fulton Industrial near Fulton County. Now, you know what I was doing. I was down there hunting and fishing. And I come down the road there, and I come over a hill, and I saw some guys working construction over on the side. And just as I come over that hill, my truck started spitting. And I coasted to the bottom of the hill there and pulled over. I was out of gas. I don't even want you to know how many times I've done that. But I was out of gas, and I looked. I said, oh, boy. There wasn't no such a thing as a cell phone now. I didn't have a can of gas in the back of the truck, and I was miles from anything. I turned around and started walking up the hill to where those construction workers were, and when I come up to the top of the hill, there was a man sitting there in the truck, and he had the door of the truck open on the driver's side. And as I walked up to him, he did like this. Just held his finger up before I could speak, and he read me those verses that I just read to you. And I looked at him. And he said, this is the next thing he said. Now, what can I do for you? And I told him, well, you know, I'm out of gas. I don't think I got a problem here. He said, well, get in the truck. I'll take you and we'll get you a gallon of gas. Of course, you know I'm reluctant. I'm thinking, this guy can't be that righteous. Is this guy safe? Is it okay? Now, I was a small 18-year-old. Not big as my 15-year-old now. Not now anyway. But I got in a truck, we went down the road, and all the way down the road that man witnessed to me. And he talked to me about having the mind of Christ. Now I was already a Christian, but it don't matter. God was speaking to my heart and my mind. And we got back up there to my truck, and he told me, you know, and this is the only thing he said. He said, now when somebody needs your help, you do the same for them. Well, Monday night, I was on my way here. And I come up to a stop sign, and I push the clutch in on my truck, my old 4Runner, my favorite. And it went dead. And I thought, oh, boy. Well, I had a fuel pump put in it 2 years ago. I thought, I don't know what this is, you know. Well, I just coasted on down the hill. There was a stop sign there. So when I went through the stop sign, I coasted. I mean, I was able to roll off from the stop sign without any gas. And I got down there, and I pulled over where I could. And, you know, I got out of that truck, and it wouldn't do nothing. And I said, all right, it's a fuel pump or something electronic, right? I didn't know what to do. And I thought, I don't want to call. You ever done this? I don't want to bother nobody. But I'm in Noonan. My wife's at Celebrate Recovery in Hiram. You know? And I'm thinking, all right, what can I do? And I thought about a guy that I work with, but it was already like 5:37, something like that. And I called him. First thing I said, where are you at? And he told me, well, I'm still in Noonan. I'm at the Home Depot picking something up. Told him where I was at. I said, can you come by this way and just bring me a gallon of gas? I didn't want to ask him. But, you know, sometimes we need to be considered. I mean, you say, well, and a lot of times people are like this. I'm independent. I've took care of myself. I've not allowed myself to get in the shape that so-and-so's in or that so-and-so's in. You're going to need to be considered. No matter how good you think you got it together. And, you know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for a 50-year-old man to call somebody and say, I run out of gas. You too? Well, he brought me a gallon of gas, and the truck sat there. It took him, like, it was like 45 minutes from the time it went dead till he got there, just because of him getting everything. And, you know, it sat there long enough, it cranked up when he put the gas in it. We thought, oh, I was out of gas. Went to the gas station, it wouldn't take no gas. I thought, uh-oh, it wasn't out of gas. My gas gauge don't work, you know, it's an old truck. It's an old truck. Four-wheel drive works good, though, y'all. Four-wheel drive. So, no gas. And I thought, uh-oh. So, I got in it. It cranked up. I head down the road. I get to the next stop sign. I push the clutch in. It does the exact same thing. I sit there till it settles, cools off, whichever one it is. It cranks up again. I go down the road about 300 yards. It goes dead again. I sat there another 30 minutes. It goes down the road. But anyway, I'm going through all this, and I didn't like it. I got home late. I was tired. But here's the point. No matter how well you think you got it together, you are going to need somebody. And understanding that and knowing that, what's that do in our hearts? If you live just unto yourself, that's going to be a lonely life. The golden rule in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 12, it says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If you come over to Luke chapter number 6, you got a parallel scripture that goes right along with that. In verse number 31, it says, and as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Then it says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Now here's sometimes the way we are when we're looking, if we're not careful. We'll look at people. And you know, sometimes, and one thing I know for certain is you cannot solve everybody's problem. I'm not trying to get you to understand that you can. You really can't. Now, here's something I want you to understand about God, though. If you could imagine, even when we come up here tonight and pray, and we all gather around the altar, and we've got all these prayer requests, all the prayers that are going up to God at any one given time. Now, if I could even hear that, it would absolutely overwhelm me. All the cries, all the concerns, but I can't. But what I ought to be doing is listening close for the Spirit of God. Now, I believe Christianity is a personal relationship with a living God. And how you see and understand God and your relationship with God, I don't know what level it's at or where you're at. It might be different than me and different than somebody else. Surely it is, but you ought to be growing. And evidence that you're growing has to do with how you're listening to the Spirit of God. And here's where we have to be careful. He said in the scripture, if you only love those that love you, what makes you different from all the world? It's kind of like this. I'm not going to help them because they did it to themselves. Could you imagine me calling my wife at Celebrate Recovery, honey, and I called her, I need you to come get me. It ain't going to make it home. I could just hear her saying, you run out of gas, it's your fault, walk home. She didn't. She's very kind. I have a very loving wife. But could you imagine that? You ever seen anybody in need and first thing that comes to our mind in the flesh? They did it. It's their fault. Why is it my problem? Go over to Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to show you a verse of scripture. It's very familiar scripture. But it talks about bearing one another's burdens. Chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden or his own load. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now if you look at that fifth verse, if you change that word burden to load, you ever carried a load? Then you need somebody just to show you some kindness. And sometimes, you know, all it really is caring enough to listen. And sometimes in a relationship, and you know, I'm still learning how to be a husband. I'm still learning how to be a dad. Sometimes I look at my Christian walk and my Christian life, and I think, well, Lord, about the time that it's time for me to go and be with you, I'll just have learned really what it is to live on this earth. And it'll be time to go home. I don't know if you ever think that way, but I do. Folks, I hadn't got it figured out. But I've learned over the years in my relationship with my wife that my wife doesn't always want me to solve her problems. She calls and she's telling me things and these things that are on her heart. And if I'm not careful, I want to give her a quick answer about what's next. Sometimes with my kids, and I heard a man give this example recently. He said, you know, you could be so involved in church and got good things that you forget about what's really important. Your first ministry's in your house. And said, a little boy was calling his dad, and he said, his dad was reading something, dad. And he never responded to him. He said, Pastor Kim, may I speak with you, please? And the guy looked at him. You ever had that happen to you? I have. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't make me feel good. So considering others, the first thing people think about is you asking me to get my billfold out. That's part of it. But there are other things too. See, to consider others, you have to deny yourself. Over in the book of Mark, chapter number 8, in verse 34 to 36, Jesus called the disciples unto him and he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To deny yourself means you have to put others before yourself. See, to consider others, number two, you have to have joy. One time I preached a funeral of a lady. Her name was Joy. And this, obviously trying to seek God, God showed me an acrostic out of her name. And because her character and the kindness that she had, you know, the Bible says in one place some men's works go before them and some men follow after. That's in the New Testament. I can look it up on my iPad for you to give you the exact verse. But some people are known because of their kindness. And when you're in any kind of relationship, folks, that's important. You see, to consider others, you got to have joy. J is for Jesus first. It doesn't matter about anything else in your life. If God's not first, things are out of order. And then if you really want to be right with God, and this is where it gets tough, it's others second. And then the why is you last. Now, I'm one of those kind of people. I have a pair of fingernail clippers in my drawer at work. And when you spend as much time on the phone as I do, you do two things. You either cut your fingernails or you doodle. And I'm a doodler, okay? But people say, well, you got my fingernails are never long. I have to be careful or they'll be raw. You know what I'm saying? I cut them too much. And I was sitting there one night and I looked down at my little boy's toenails. And I thought, son, you could win a cat fight. Now, here's where I'm going with this. You love yourself. You're going to make sure that things are done. But how are you treating others? I said, boy, you go get me the clippers and we're going to fix that. Now, I'll be honest with you. If we just look at ourselves, that's something we don't want to do. I heard the man one time, he was giving a testimony about how God had brought somebody into his life that just needed help. Just needed help. It was an older gentleman. He said, I'd go by, and he said, you know, I started going by just to visit him, and then God dealt with my heart, and I went by, and I took him a meal, and then God dealt with my heart, and I went by, and I took him a shirt. And then one day I went by and I got to talking to him and he said, you know, I just went into his bathroom to use a bathroom and God spoke to me and I looked at the toilet and I said, God, please, not that. What God was telling him is you need to clean this man's bathroom. You know why? Because it hadn't been cleaned in who knows when. Some of you have saw the skit where the lady tells about combing the man's hair. What's her name? Beth Moore. It's very funny, but I want to tell you something. Here's where that personal relationship with God comes in. She was going through the airport, and she sees this man, and the Holy Spirit speaks to her heart and tells her to go comb his hair. She goes, and she doesn't want to do it. But she listens. It's the Spirit of God. That's why that relationship with God is so important. You don't do everything. You do what God tells you to do. But she goes and she combs this man's hair, and it has a tremendous impact on him because he is on his way home to see his wife, and he hadn't seen her in a long time. And sometimes, you know, we look at things and we think, well, God's going to want something great from me. Anything you do following God in the Holy Spirit is great. And if we don't learn to follow God in the little things, we'll never see God do the great things. And sometimes I hear about people doing things for God and God doing things in people's lives. And it's when you hear about it, you just know it's God. Because that's the only way it could be. Have you ever heard those things and say, God, I want you to do something great in my life? But sometimes it begins by being obedient in the little things. You see, to consider others, you got to have a servant's heart. To consider others, you have to walk in the path that God has saved us for. See, we're not saved by our works, but the Scripture says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, we are in Christ Jesus, we're saved unto good works. That's why it is the Christians in the United States of America, I believe, are the glue that's still holding this nation together. Do you realize that it's the United States of America and God blessing this nation to be established that has sent missionaries all over the world so that people could be saved? Now, you know, a lot of times, and I've traveled abroad just a little bit, but when you travel abroad, for me, there were some instances, and I hate to say this, but there were some conversations that I had I was embarrassed by. Because people who are not Christian, they're not going to talk to you about the missionaries. They're not going to talk to you about what God's done or the blessings. They're going to talk to you about the things that are in the news that are embarrassing. That's why in some countries, they don't want Americans there. But folks, I want you to not be ashamed, but realize it's Christians that are holding this country together. It's the prayers of the saints. And we're still, missionaries are still seeing souls saved by the thousands, because when you go into places where the gospel has not been preached and where they've not had liberty to go to church like you and I, they're very receptive to the Spirit of God. Now, when I think about those things and I look, God saved me, what's God saved me to do? You know, the Bible teaches us that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them. Now, God's blessed me tremendously because he saved my soul. But what about other ways that God's blessed you? I mean, God's blessed us. To consider others, you must have the mind of Christ. You see, the scripture says over there in Philippians, says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In John chapter 15, verse number 13, it says this. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I was going down the road today and I was listening to Ravi Zacharias preach. And he talked about Billy Graham, obviously great evangelist, saw a lot of people saved, you know, but Billy Graham is way, way up in years. And said, Billy Graham said, if I had it to do all over again, he said, I would have read more, I would have preached less, and I would have loved my family more. Now, when you stop and think about it, and I think about me as a person and who am I, I'm not even who I want to be in Christ yet. Sometimes I think God put me and my wife together so that she could, I'm saved. You ever wonder why God saved me? Yeah. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, why did you love me the way, so much as you do? I'm stubborn, I'm hard-headed, I'm stingy. And my wife, we balance each other out. She give you everything. Everything. But it's took us years just of learning how to live together. And I've come all the way to this point in my life still learning how to be the person that God wants me to be. And sometimes God has to let you run out of gas so he can speak to you. So you're going to need somebody. But when somebody needs you, you need to put your spiritual ear on. Because God might have something that he wants you to do. You know, the greatest way you're going to receive a blessing in your life is to be obedient and help somebody when God tells you to. It's like people who are in the worst trouble. That's why I think missionary trips are so good. They're good for our teenagers. They're good for us. Because when we go and see somebody that's in need and we start helping them, we forget about all our little problems. So I'm glad that, number one, that the Lord considered me enough. And I believe this with all my heart. If I'd have been the only one, he'd have still went to the cross. See, because when he went to the cross, he opened the door that whosoever believeth would not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad the Lord considered you? Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I've confessed too much.